I want to invite your attention today to the book of Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 26. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse number 26. The title of our message today is Identity Theft. It might be something of interest as we look at it today. Luke 8, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither lived in any house, but in the tombs or graveyard. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." And he commanded, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because there were many devils that had entered into him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture, this is probably one of the most sad and pathetic passages that we run across involving demon possession and involving someone who had no control over themselves. So bad was his condition that he couldn't even answer by his own name. You know, it's one thing to be influenced by the devil, but it's another thing that you would be controlled and dominated by Satan, what we might call demon possession. And what drew me to this passage was the fact that identity theft happens when you give your identity or your identity is stolen by someone else and they use it for their gain. This is exactly what is happening in this passage. The devil had taken this man's identity and was using him as a victim. How sad it is. But you know, I find also that demons have not stopped their activity. They continue to torment people. They continue to influence their lives. They continue to go about their work of destruction, of killing, and of causing people to deny and reject God. As we look at this passage today, we have to ask ourselves, how much has the devil influenced us? And are we fully committed to the plan of God? The only safety that you have from the devil is in a refuge, and his name is called Jesus. Before him, demons tremble, and every demon has to bow. Every devil has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are three things that draw our attention in this passage that I think we need to take note of. One is the fact that Jesus is here invading the devil's territory. He's invading the devil's territory. And let me tell you something. God owns heaven and earth. He can go wherever he wants. As a matter of fact, everything belongs to him. But the good news is, if there is a place where the devil is claiming control, here is Jesus Christ saying, "I'm going there." He goes there for the particular reason of delivering from darkness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus went everywhere doing good and delivering all who were oppressed of the devil. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus came your way and he came my way one day. We may not have been demon possessed, but we were certainly influenced by it. And if it wasn't demon, it was sin. Professor in one of my classes said, someone asked him the question, "What's the difference between being demon-possessed and being in sin?" He said, "Well, both of them have the same results. They'll send you to hell." Isn't that something? People are being led astray. They're being led from the way of God because of the influence of the devil. The Bible says he comes down to the earth and he knows that he has but a short time. So he's going to do everything he can to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the second thing about this, not only did Jesus invade the devil's territory, here are the demons as they answer back to Jesus. They say to him, "Have you come to torment us?" And then it said, "Have you come to judge us before the time?" Devils know the judgment is coming. Demons know that there's a great day of reckoning that God will require of everyone. Whether it be demons or whether it be anything, God will bring about this day of judgment. So we find in this verse, Jesus invaded the devil's territory. The devil knew that judgment was coming. But then the third thing that happened in this verse that troubled me is that the devil had stolen this man's identity. When asked the question, "What is your name?" he didn't give them the birth name. He gave them the reply of the demons. He said, "Legion, because we are many." What a terrible thing it is to not be able to answer or to have things in order because someone has stolen our identity. So I want to ask the question today. I want to ask a simple question. How do you know that you're the real you? How do you know that you are who you say you are? Now, in the military, how many military people we got? How many military people served in the military? You're a veteran. Okay. In the military, they said that there were a couple of things you had to always remember: your name, your rank, and your serial number, right? This man answered to neither of those. He couldn't answer himself because the demons had stolen his identity. Has someone called you names and now you're trying to live up to that particular name rather than being the one that God has called you to be? If you're not the person that you should be, someone has stolen your identity. How do you get it back? That's what I want to find out. How do you get it back? If the demons have stolen it, if someone else has taken it from you? My mother told me something one time. I came running home crying. "Oh, Mom, somebody called me a bad name." She said, "They might call you a bad name, but you don't have to answer to it." You have to know who you are. You have to know the person that God wants you to be. You have to discover the plan that he has for your life. I'm so glad that Jesus gives us our true identity. Speaking of identity theft, let's talk about some things that's going on with identity theft. In the year of 2020, identity theft became a lucrative enterprise. In that year, 1.4 million people in this country, the United States, filed complaints saying someone has stolen my identity. And what do they do with it? They go out and they get credit cards in your name, and then the bill comes to your house. All right, they use your name for other things, and some of them you may find out, and the next thing you know, your credit card has been denied. If they can, they'll try to get your bank account information. People say, "Well, somebody's sitting at a phone." No, they've got computer logarithms. Is that right, Creed? What do you call them? Logarithms that can actually sort through and actually get into your information. And the next thing you know, while you're claiming that person, somebody else also is claiming that they're you. Identity theft. $56 billion in 2020 was consumed by people and stolen from the true consumer because of this thing that we call identity theft. 86% of the consumers worldwide have been impacted by it. And the number one state, according to the study that we found on CapitalCounselor.com, it said that the number one state in America that has the highest numbers of report is Kansas. So don't move to Kansas. And if you're in Kansas, get out of Kansas, because that's a bad place for identity theft. What happens when a person loses their identity because of this? They have to now go through the process of restoring their credit. But there's something much worse than what we might call financial identity theft. To have spiritual identity that has been stolen away from you, what a terrible thing. And as we look at this condition of this man, he wore no clothes. He's tormenting himself, cutting himself with knives or stones or anything else he can find, because the demons are now on the inside of him. I think about people that are going through this thing, and I say, what an awful condition. If they only knew the man that I knew, they only knew the one that could set you free, they would be able to come to Jesus and say, Lord, restore me and restore my hope. I was reading in some commentaries and getting some background information about this passage, and one of the things that they said that troubled me, they associated mental illness with demon possession. And I said, how sad that people would be or would think that every person that has a mental condition, they also have a demon condition. Now, all of it comes from sin. All of it comes from sin, whether or not a person has committed. All of it, its roots are in that, and it's due to human weakness. But let me tell you something. Stress can cause you mental problems. A tragedy in your life can cause you mental problems. Doesn't mean you're demon-possessed. It simply means that you need to go and seek some help to try to get some direction so that you can restore your peace of mind. Do not confuse mental health or mental illness with demon possession. As a matter of fact, let me give you a couple of things about demon. How do you know when you're demon-possessed? What are some of the things that you have to look at? What are some of the things that you would want to consider if you are demon-possessed? One is when you desire evil only. Then you're probably talking about a demon influencing your life. When your only thing is all you want to do is evil, then that's got to come from a source. Are y'all still here? Trying to help you. Don't confuse, don't be trying to cast out a demon somebody when they really need to go and seek medical help. Their body might be lacking some chemical. It could be a thing of where they need it. And if we're there praying for them, and we're going to, I believe in anointing people with oil, but unless the Holy Spirit directs you, all right? Don't be coming laying hands. I believe Reverend Coleman losing his mind. Are y'all still here? I might be under stress. I might be having some type of trauma in my life. Don't confuse that. And I get upset at people everywhere they go. They're trying to look for demons and cast them out. Look, don't come to my house casting out demons. Don't anoint my door with oil, all right? I might just be going through a time of need and needing prayer. But the one thing that you can look for is that person exemplifying, or are they displaying evil activity that comes from the devil? Second thing you can do is to look at whether or not they have control over their own life, or they are following the direction of an evil force. Third thing that you look for in a person's life, and this person certainly had it, he had supernatural strength. They put shackles on him, he just break the shackles. They would try to bind him, they would just go and just tear things up. That's because he was influenced by a demon. And here's the sure sign. Here's the sure sign of whether or not a person is demon-possessed. A person you know is demon-possessed when they only want to hear from the devil and they reject everything that has to do with God. They turn it away. They don't want to hear it. Isn't it something that this man in the Bible, that everybody else had given up on, here comes Jesus down the road to Gadara? Because no one can go beyond God's grace. No one is beyond his mercy and his kindness. Here's God coming into that person's life now and touching him, impacting him with the word of God. I'm so glad he came down my road. I'm so glad that God saved my soul one day, made me a new creature in Christ. So I'm going to say to those, whether you're listening online or in here, don't say or don't even think in your mind that the devil has all power. He does not have all power. He only has what God has given him and what God will give him authority to use. Yes, he will try to influence people. Yes, he will try to steal their joy. But guess what? The joy I have doesn't come from the devil. The joy I have comes from Jesus. By the way, while we're talking about joy, the reason why a lot of people turn to evil is because they just want peace of mind. Some people turn to drugs. And I believe that when you open the door to drugs, you open your mind to demon activity. I do believe that. If it's not something that has been prescribed, you better leave it alone because you don't know what you're doing. Are y'all still here? And if you are under the influence of drugs, there is hope for you. There is hope. There's Jesus who can come into your life and give you the peace that you seek. I'm telling you, he's a way maker. He's a burden bearer. He's a friend. Amen. If you need him to be one. So this man has his identity stolen. Cannot even discern whether or not he is the right person. 6,000 demons now in his mind. But here are three people involved in this deliverance. And one is you got the 6,000 demons, but then you got one man who's called Jesus. And then you got the unnamed man because, Al, he doesn't have his identity yet. He doesn't know who he is. He can't discern his right hand from his left hand. I want y'all to say with me, help him, Jesus. Have you ever seen people didn't know where they were going and didn't know where they came from? They're just simply lost. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm so glad that we have a Savior. I'm so glad that we have a God who is almighty. Here's Jesus now entering into the man's life and talking with him. Here's Jesus now standing before him, the restorer of the soul, the one who comes in and gives us peace of mind. And here's how you can get your spiritual identity back. Here's what we call spiritual identity restoration. Step one, you got to get the devil out. You got to get rid of him. Now, let me just say this. A lot of y'all travel different places and you bring back what we call these artifacts or these relics. You know, you go to some country or some place, or maybe even down south, and you get this little rabbit foot, okay, and then you bring it back and you start putting it up in your house. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, what does a rabbit foot have to do with God? And you want it to bring you good luck, all right? Now, I come from a county that the people kind of believe in this thing, working roots. Did I step on somebody's toe? Now, who do you want to bless you, God or the roots? Are y'all still here? I believe I messed on something. Sean, I'm talking about something people don't want to hear, right? You remember them people that used to live back on the back road and you go down there and they give you a little concoction and it's supposed to help you, it's supposed to get the evil spirit off you. And you get, if you got a spell on your life, you know, people trying to put a spell on you. I mean, am I talking to the right folk? I know we don't do that no more, right? We don't go down there and see the soothsayer or the palm reader or any of these other folk. We're going to trust in the Lord. I'm trying to help somebody. You're opening the door to demons. There's only one true source of blessing, and that's God. Only one way for you to get the blessing of God, and that's in Jesus' name. You don't need a spell binder. You need someone who's a way maker. His name is God Almighty. He is Jesus our Lord, and he's worthy of all the praise. So the first thing that we're dealing with is how do you get rid of this demon? Notice Jesus now is standing before the demons, and if you read the text, it talks about how that the demons try to make a deal with Jesus. They try to negotiate with Jesus. They say, okay, Jesus, if we got to leave this man, then suffer us to go into the swine, these pigs, and let us go into them. And so Jesus gives them leave. They go into the herd of swine and the pig. How many of y'all know that a pig has a very small brain? You can put it into a coffee cup and still not feel the coffee cup. Now, the pig with the small brain, about 2,000 of them, they say to themselves, you know what? We ain't putting up with this devil. If a pig has a small brain but yet has enough sense in his mind to say, I'm not putting up with the devil, why do you put up with him? The Bible tells us that the devils ran down, or the pig rather, ran down a steep cliff. And they drowned in the nearby lake because they were determined, we're not going to allow the devil to come in here. And to give you hope, you don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to go to those drastic measures. The only thing that you need is the same thing that this man did. Even though the demons were crying out, even though the demons were rejecting Jesus, let me tell you what happened. This man with 6,000 demons still came down and fell before the Lord. He wasn't able to put it in words, but the Lord looked beyond his fault and saw his need. And I'm so thankful. I may not have been as bad as this guy was, but I had the devil in me. My mama told me that one time. But what a great God we serve. Jesus rebuked the demon and sent them out of him. And now the man is set free. Now you'd think that's part number one, get the devil out. How do you get the devil out of your life? I'm going to tell you something. If you're going through times where you feel the influence of evil, get into this book right here. Once you get into this book, it will speak things to you. It will tell you things that you need to know about God and yourself. It will give you comfort in the time of weakness. If the devil is trying to wake you up at midnight, get your Bible. And one of them going to leave. Either the devil going to leave or you're going back to sleep. Because his word is mighty. His word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This man suffering from this identity theft is now free of the demons, but that's not the only thing. Don't just feel like, well, I need to seek God to get the devil out. No, you got to get something in. Notice he still doesn't know. He's still not sure of who he is. So the town folk, they go back and they tell what Jesus has done, how they lost the herd of swine. They were more concerned about a herd of swine than they were about a man being set free. But something happened while they were on their way back into town. Something amazing happened. This man, who has now been set free of demons, puts his clothes back on for the first time. He gets his clothes on. And not only does he get his clothes on, the Bible tells us that this man now, who was once in the tombs, is now sitting at the feet of Jesus. If you want to know who you are, sit at the feet of Jesus. Come before him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you that peace of mind of knowing no matter what anybody else says about you, you know you're a child of God. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in some dangerous times. We're living in times where people will tell you that you're not this. It's a shame. It's a crying out shame. God created all of humanity, and yet there's some of humanity who thinks that if your skin is a little bit darker, then you're not worthy. I'm just as much a child of God as anybody else. We've all been made by the hand of God. And if people are telling you that you're nothing, I want to tell you, don't look in the mirror, look in the Word. When you look in the Word, the Bible tells us who we are, that we are God's people, and that we are ones who can qualify for His grace. As a matter of fact, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This man had to sit at the feet of Jesus, in order for him to understand who he really was, not what the world had called him. Now, even though he's got the demons out, he still doesn't have a true identity of who he is until he sits down and listens to the voice of God. I'm so glad that we have this opportunity in church every Sunday to get our identity checked. We can come in here and we can pray and we can sing and we can renew our faith. We can encourage each other, because out there in the world, you're going to be called everything. But in here, you're called a child of God. Is that good news? That's great news. And we can thank God for it. So the man now has his identity because he sits at the feet of Jesus. He's there worshiping. And the people, when they saw him, the Bible says, look at it in Luke 8:35, and they were afraid. Evidently, not all the demons got cast out. Some of the demons were in the town folk. Amen. Some of the demons were still there. As a matter of fact, this man had been delivered by Jesus, but now you've got the town folk telling Jesus, we don't want you here. Sad to say, some churches don't want Jesus. They're more concerned about their program than they are about the living God. But I want Jesus, don't you? I want to know him better, and I want to be able to serve him, which brings us to our third and final point. Not only did the man get delivered by demons and he learned his true identity, but now comes the test. How do you know it? The only way that you can know that you're a child of God is when you've been tested, when you've been proven. When the townsfolk said, Jesus, we don't want you here, Jesus got in a boat and left, and the man who had been delivered asked Jesus, Lord, let me go with you. Let me learn some more from you. Let me hang out with you. Let me go where you go. Let me sit down some more and learn a few more things from your word. But notice, as it says in that verse, Jesus suffered him not to go with him. Jesus, the man said, Lord, can I go with you? Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go with me. Verse 39, he said these words, return to your house and show how great things God has done unto you. In other words, you can't go with me, but you can go for me. How do you know who you are? You know who you are when you got a testimony. This man had a testimony. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Now Jesus is putting his identity to the true test. You'll know that you're a child of God when you can stand up and say, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. I want to tell others of your grace. I want to tell people about the love that only you can give. And that's what we've been called to do. Not just to sit at the feet of Jesus, but to arise and go and tell somebody that Jesus is real. We have our spiritual identity because the Lord has given it back. I'm glad for three things today. Number one, the devil doesn't control me. I'm glad of that. You ought to give God a hand clap that he doesn't control you. Oh, he might come from time to time and suggest things to you. He might tell you to do this and do that, but you've got another inner voice, not an outside voice. You've got an inner voice of the Holy Spirit saying to you when they say, go this way and go that way, you'll hear a voice speaking in your ear, speaking to your heart, saying, this is the way. How many of y'all ever been going through a trial or something and the Lord spoke to you? That's God in you. That's the child of God that he wants you to be. And that voice comes to lead you and direct you. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you to be out here in life and not have a heavenly Father that you know and a God you can depend on. It's wonderful to know that we have our true identity. But then we rejoice over God's word. When the word is being given to you, you ought to eat it up. You ought to say to yourself, man, this is good. Because that's nourishment for your soul. That's nourishment. That is food for your soul. But then the last thing, if the Lord has done something for you, you ought to get excited about it. Now, here's what people do. Here's what people do. I'm going to close with this. People get excited when they play the numbers and then they win.
They get, I want $1,000. I played that number. What's that number again? I played that number and I want I won $5,000. Now, if you can get excited about winning some money that you're going to end up spending somewhere anyway, you ought to get excited about the fact that not only are you saved, but you know God for yourself. You can't make me doubt him, and your name is written in glory. So my final point is this. Once you become a child of God, you might forget it sometime, but guess what? Your name is written in heaven, where Christ is. Your name is already on the roll. You're already a child of God. The world may give you doubt, but guess what? You got Jesus, and that's enough. That's enough. You ought to be a witness for him. So what I'm calling you to do today as we prepare to leave here, I'm calling you to do that third point, of going through this thing, not only knowing who you are, but telling other people who you are. You're a child of God. You believe in his word. You've been filled with his goodness. Now go out and tell somebody. Well, where should I go, Pastor? First, go to your home. Amen. You might have some folks back home that need to know about Jesus. They might be going through struggles. They might be going through trials and tribulation. Tell them about the love of Christ. Just simply tell what God has done for you. And you will be a witness for the Lord. Final question. Any witnesses in here? God bless you. Keep telling the story. Keep telling the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the blessing of knowing that, Lord, we've not lost our identity. As a matter of fact, our identity has been confirmed. We are children of the Most High God. Bless us now to go out of these walls with the good news of Christ. We're in a world now where people are confused. They're turning to this and they're turning to that. They're giving over to demons and all of kinds of these activities that are in the world. But Lord, may we bring them the good news of your grace. Send us forth now as believers in your word, that God, we might trust in you and tell of your power. We love you and we thank you. And Lord, if there's anyone that does not know Christ, if there's anyone, Lord, who's confused about who they are, bring them to their knees and then bring them to that blessed hope, our only wise God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for all these wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord.